I remember when I used Steam to buy like the 5 games I ever bought, including the Stanley Parable. Pew, 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 shout out again. Really excited for that. Origins was a thing because I bought Far Cry 3 and I remember being like, wait, I have to download something that's not Steam.
Origins?
EA Origins. Yeah. Origins. Not EA Origins. It's Ubisoft's thing.
Okay.
But it's a client that you purchase everything through. So it's not quite Steam, but kind of. It's for Ubisoft games. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just so it's EA has something like that. I forget what it's called. EA Access?
Yeah, I think that's
that sounds like a thing. That
EA Access is their subscription service.
Mm. Okay.
Where you basically get all of their games for $10 a month or something.
Yeah. Well, I thought that was weird. And, you know, then I didn't play PC games much anymore. So I was like, whatever. Didn't think anything of it. But I hear just all the time of stuff of like the wildly varying quality of early access games on Steam. Mm. How sometimes like there are problems with Steam, anything from like clones, just shitty clones, mm-hmm. or like just content that is clearly not very regulated, you know. So like there are those issues, but also there's nobody to compete with Steam. And yeah, Steam sales are amazing, but there are things that Steam could be doing better, and you know. Competition
certainly.
Is healthy.
Yeah.
So anyway, Discord wants to do that. They put out a whole blog post about it. I think it's ironic because they're like, hey, we're putting out a new store because we want to stop the fragmentation of the community from going everywhere. And it's like, I see what you're doing, but this is funny.
There's an XKCD comic kind of about that where, you know, there's like a group of scientists saying, hey, let's introduce a new standard because everything's so fragmented. And then they introduce it and then someone else pops up and says, hey, this standard is missing a whole lot. Let's introduce a standard because it's so fragmented.
Yeah.
They just keep going and going.
Well, let's dive into it. So I guess, hey, everybody, welcome to the Gamer Heroes podcast.
Oh, man, I totally missed it. I got to get it.
Okay, we'll
just everybody pretend and.
Oh, wow, that was the quietest, most depressing.
Wimpy. There it is.
Woo!
Welcome to the Gamer Heroes
Who's
podcast.
Ready? Who's
oh, I'm ready.
Ready. Okay.
We are wrapping up 2018 here.
You know, I got to put my phone away. Okay, because this is just going to continue.
The balls are finally dropping.
Well, before the ball finally drops here in a couple weeks, we're recording this episode. We'll probably skip Christmas next week because when we record is Christmas Eve, and well, I'm not that committed. But then we'll be back, hopefully right before the new year. We're wrapping up the year. Last week we talked about the Game Awards, a whole bunch. I had a blast last week, and we could talk about our Game of the Year stuff, but I think we're gonna put that off. Instead, we'll talk a little bit of news, a little bit of what we're playing. We opened up. We were talking about the Discord store. Let's get this news out of the way. So Discord posted a blog that basically addressed a lot of issues with having a lot of different platforms on, like, places to buy PC games. And I thought it was a pretty well-written article. But it is funny because they make it seem like they are just do-gooders.
They're saviors.
Yeah. Which, like, I get. But, come on. It's not... You're just because you're doing people a service doesn't make you just totally benevolent.
Yeah.
But that said, the point of their store is to share revenue 90-10
mm-hmm.
With developers. So especially 10%
to the store, 90% to the developer.
Correct. Yeah. Which comes after, you know, Steam does 70-30, and Epic, who released their store, earlier this year, is 88-12. So much better than Steam, but then here Discord's like, well, we want to do one better. So it's funny that they do one that's so similar, but then they, you know. Mm-hmm. So the idea is this article I read about it listed off, because I don't game on PC that much. I really game on console a lot. But this one went out of its way to say all these different platforms that you can buy stuff on. So let's see. So this article, the quote is, on my PC alone, I have Steam, the Epic Games Launcher, the Bethesda Launcher, Origin, Uplay, Battle.net, Twitch, GOG Galaxy, the Microsoft Store, and Big Fish Games Launcher.
I don't even recognize half of those. Twitch has a platform?
Well, the idea is that it's an app where you can enjoy gaming. So that's the only one out of that list that you can't actually buy that doesn't have a storefront.
Not yet.
Yeah, but because
it's gonna happen.
Yeah, I mean, all
streamers
those
are gonna be able to offer games at discounts.
They'll fix Discord store.
I just saw today. Yeah, I just saw today that you can watch movies. You can buy movies on YouTube. Maybe that's not new.
Really,
it's new to me.
Well, I don't think I've seen that.
Yeah, so
I don't spend a lot of time on YouTube.
Me neither. But they really want, you know, they've got a lot of young viewers because of YouTube Red and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think they have, like, that's an option on, like, our smart TV is to buy stuff through YouTube or
really?
Something.
Yeah. Huh. Well, they're smart to do it, you know.
Smart.
There are also a lot of places, a lot of ways to buy movies. Like, even just on my PS4, there are, like, three different ways I can buy movies through different apps. And
so, renting movies, I don't care where it's from, right? But if I'm buying, I really just want to buy them in one place so I can build a library, right? You know, I don't even care about building a library that much. I don't go out and buy movies that often, but I just want one place that they're stored in.
Right. So even this article, a great example was that you don't want to wish list a game thinking you don't own it, but you actually do own it. It's just not on your regularly used app.
Yep.
You know, so it's like, oh, I want to buy Skyrim. Oh, well, you actually already own that.
Probably four different places in the case of Skyrim, but yeah.
Right.
Point taken.
So the idea of this is they want to be good to developers so people can self-publish and keep a ton of that profit and a ton of that revenue. And their words were, we will explore options of reducing that 10 even lower because it doesn't cost us that much. Hmm. It doesn't cost 10% to put up a storefront. And it's like, again, it's like, I see you're putting it out there, but we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. Not that I think they're lying. I think that's just, you know, that's business. But they want it to be very enticing for developers to come to them because Epic has the Unreal Engine. And I know they have an extra incentive to devs who use that engine. They get an extra 5% back by using Epic's platform. So I do like these incentives between developers. I want it to be as easy as possible for a team of five people to publish their game and keep all that money. So competition like this, I think, is great. The issues, like we said, are having six different libraries on your computer, and none of them talk to each other, so it's hard to know what you have.
Yeah, it stinks because in one hand, this is a very consumer-friendly thing in that it should drive prices and offerings to the lowest levels possible by having increased competition. But from a user experience and accessibility and just friendliness, right? Having things in multiple libraries is worse. So overall, I agree it's good, right?
Yeah.
It's a good thing competition's good if Steam didn't have any competitors.
But it's like going to Walmart versus going through the entire outlet mall.
Yeah.
It's like, well, look, I get that you guys may have better incentives here, better selection, all that stuff. But if I go here, I can pretty much get everything.
Yeah.
And that's nice. That's convenient.
It's very true. I would also make the point that in most cases, you know, most people would cry that monopoly is bad and you would see the effects of price gouging and all sorts of things. But in many ways, it almost seems like Steam was the perfect implementation of the idea from the get-go. Mm-hmm. They've always been pretty good to their consumers. And the sales and just the fun things, like, you know, when Portal 2 is being released, all the fun games that they did. They don't do that so much anymore, but it really does feel like they did it right the first time.
Mm-hmm.
So all that's happening now is people trying to take market share, and are they taking it from the business that you really want to be giving your money to?
So the idea is that if, you know, if Steam's taking 70-30, developers, especially ones that are big enough, they realize, well, we can make more money than that. We can keep this all to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to open our own. We're going to create our own client, our own app
mm-hmm.
that sells all of our games because we're a big AAA publisher, and we can afford to do this.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to keep the revenue internal. And so everyone does that. Honestly, it's like my metaphor I use for podcast networks. It's like once anybody gets any success, they're like, oh, let's make a network. And then it actually becomes harder to connect with other non-network, you know, shows, or mm-hmm. or in this case, with your libraries and other apps. And the Discord's goal is to basically stop that immediately and entice everyone to come to their platform because it's the most lucrative and most appealing to developers.
Yeah.
So that they can nix this whole idea of these AAA publishers making their own stores. They just want to get rid of that altogether.
Which is great. Yeah. And it's a great idea for now. But as soon as they get any sort of market share, they will absolutely up the percentage cut that they take.
I don't think so, because what they want to do, what I think they want to do, is they just want people to be using Discord because they already have other services that they make money off of. So simply by consolidating the place that people go for their games, they're already boosting their other product. So I think they would keep that revenue split about where it is and make all their money through their chat servers.
And that's entirely possible. But I can also say that it's a certainty that at some point, Joe Executive, you know, Mr. CEO guy, will say, what?
CE Joe.
CE Joe. That's very good. Yes. CE Joe will say, Chief Executive Joe will someday look at the numbers and say, all we have to do is increase our take by 5%.
And I make $3 million more dollars.
And my bonus increases so much, right? So, I mean, you know, that will happen. Now, whether the, like, the market forces and whatever and their other revenue streams will be good enough to, you know, suppress that, maybe. Mm-hmm. The other option is that Steam, the sort of market leader, right, and the sort of the, in terms of revenue sharing from the business's perspective, from the client's perspective, they're the golden standard, right? If we could take 30% and get away with it, we would. Maybe they have to reduce, if they lose enough market share, they have to reduce their take to match everyone else's.
I also don't know, even though, you know, the whole 90-10% is great for the developers and something that the developers deserve, I don't know how much that's going to necessarily sway that many people. And I'm specifically talking about people that already have their libraries built out. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah,
my Steam, I couldn't even tell you how.
Yeah.
I couldn't even count the number of games that I own in my Steam library that I haven't even started yet.
Yeah.
Right.
This is the age old digital content question, right? It started, I don't know, to me it kind of started with iTunes. Where do you build your music library? And like, once you do it, it's like it's a sunk cost, so you feel like you can never leave.
Yeah.
And I don't know how many. I don't know. I probably spent a couple $100 on iTunes throughout the first 10 years of its existence or whatever. But I don't use it ever anymore.
I'm a Mac user.
Right. That was the main reason why I started to refuse to set up accounts on other services with my Facebook account.
Yeah.
Because they always try to do that, like force you to set up everything you want to log into with your Facebook account. It just means you can never kill your Facebook.
So you know what?
It was so hard for me to finally make a Spotify login with my existing account that wasn't Facebook.
Yeah. How long did that take?
Very hard.
It took them years.
I went through the exact same problem. I had to, like, email their support team and stuff. Like, dude, how do I get rid of this old account? Yeah. Like, because I originally set it up on Facebook.
Mine's still tied to my Facebook.
Well, my issue, I had an account that was great and had all my stuff saved, but I could only access it if I logged in through Facebook.
Yep.
And I didn't want that because I wanted to be able to log in on someone else's PlayStation without logging in actually me. I wanted my Spotify, but I didn't want to log into the PlayStation.
Right.
And that's only possible if I use my email and password, but I didn't have one. So trying to fix that was way more difficult than I ever thought it was going
to
be.
And I'm pretty sure, this was a while back, so don't quote me on this, but I'm pretty sure that what happened and part of the reason that I got so frustrated with it was that I did cancel my Facebook. And then I logged into Spotify.
That kill your Spotify?
And it just like reactivated my Facebook.
Oh.
And I was like, that's not okay.
Yeah. That's weird.
That is weird. Well, so you know, Spotify is a great example now of the evolution of the iTunes conversation and digital content. What is the next step for gaming? Subscription service. That is who will kill Steam, right? If someone can do it effectively, maybe it's Discord, maybe it's somebody else entirely.
Well, so you'd think it'd be a mix between like Gamefly or whatever.
Yeah,
it'd be Gamefly. Just it's Netflix for games,
right? And Gamefly.
That'd have to be so big to get all the publishers.
But you don't need all, right? So look at
You're right.
You need a good selection, and it can be rotating. And this is why I like the Game Pass, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, EA Access is similar, and there's some others. But the first, you know, I think Microsoft is, and we kind of talked about this on the podcast before, but I think Microsoft is in the position to do this above anybody else, because they're not just they have hardware, they have development, they have publishing, all within house, and mm-hmm. so they can rope in indie developers, they can rope in smaller developers, get them all on the same platform, and really offer something bomb.
I will say I don't think we talked about this at all from the Game Awards, but Phil Spencer made some remark to the effect of like Microsoft is better than ever because we've been building up for so long now, and it reminded me that holy cow, Microsoft bought so many studios this past year. I remember at E3 they had like announcement after announcement after announcement, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm excited for the next console generation because I'm ready to see that pendulum swing and see what Microsoft has when they're, because they have so much opportunity.
Yeah, they just bought up, what, 5 or 6 game studios this year?
Oh, at least.
Yeah.
It's a crazy number. Yeah. They're just swallowing them up. But, of course, they killed a bunch of them a while ago, but it seems like they, you know, like the people who made Hellblade, you know, that game was crazy, but it was like it's still, even though it looks amazing, it was like an indie game because it was an independent developer. And if a studio like that actually had a budget, like a real budget,
mm-hmm.
oh my gosh. Like, I like the idea of giving them the money, but still leaving them in charge.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not just being like, all right, well, we're going to swallow you whole and we'll churn mm-hmm. something out again next year.
And that's what Microsoft's pretty much promised to do is like, we're going to fund you. Go crazy, mm-hmm. like make the game you want to make, and I'm sure that 75% of them aren't going to pan out. Like they'll get most of the way through the development process and they'll cut it.
Yeah, right? Netflix
original. Yeah. There you go.
Yes.
Yeah.
Netflix green light.
Yeah, we're gonna be.
We're on the same page on this.
They're gonna be cut like Daredevil.
Dude, why?
I know.
That's
whole other time.
I'm not hurt.
It's because
everybody go check out Screen Heroes podcast. They're great. I'm sure they're going to talk about it now and forever. Well, because
this is all part of the same conversation, though, because it's because Disney's coming out with their own streaming platform, and the theory is that they basically made it so expensive to renew the contracts for all these Marvel shows that Netflix couldn't do it
anymore. Right.
So.
Yeah, that's one way.
Some of them will probably get renewed on Disney's platform,
and then everybody's gonna get so excited,
mm-hmm.
and then they're probably gonna think that like they're the saviors.
No, it's just gonna be another. It's gonna be another division.
Oh my God, they brought it back!
Yeah. It's gonna be another division. Yeah. It's gonna be another $10 a month or whatever to another platform,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not participating in that. I pay for Netflix.
Nope.
And that's it.
At some point, we're all just gonna get fucking VPNs
through YouTube TV. Well, I mean, at some point, there's going to be, like, some aggregator that, like, shares usernames and passwords so well that you can subscribe to one and get them all.
Mm. Oh, that's freaky.
Right?
That's freaky. Well, hey, let's wrap this up because I think this is great.
Fine.
The last couple things that Discord, the perks it has, is Discord has specific channels. They're verified channels where you can talk to the developers of games.
Oh, that's cool.
So it's like, for me, I don't really like using Twitter that much, but something like that is a direct link to be like, yo, I just want to talk to you. I'm not here to like type in all caps at you, but I got some, you know, maybe I've got a support question or something. And the other thing is, since Discord is first and foremost right now a voice platform, the idea is that like they created Discord because Ventrilo and TeamSpeak and stuff didn't integrate very well with games and you had to pay for them and there are all sorts of hangups. And Discord came along and made it much easier to integrate across the board. So Steam wants to they want to find companies that can work with them, not only on their platform, but as partners, so that they can develop the best voice chat possible, because mm-hmm. Discord's already good at it and they have all these resources. So that could be something cool for a game like Elder Scrolls Online, where I found my biggest barrier being the fact that I couldn't really communicate with other players easily without mm-hmm. a keyboard and mouse and stuff. Maybe they are not even thinking about Elder Scrolls, but that's definitely an example of having voice chat be a barrier. So I would love to see, you know, maybe Discord comes along and eases that burden. But I'm excited to see where this stuff goes. I just like that any little chunk off of Steam is okay with me, just because they're so huge.
Mm.
It's almost like too big to fail
mm-hmm.
kind of thing. As long as, you know, these things are only going to succeed if they're done right. So I hope they're done right.
Well, and if people go use them.
Right.
Right, like, they have to really provide incentive for people to leave Steam.
Yeah,
absolutely. So
it's, and if for most gamers, it's going to come down to price, number one, I think, and two is ease of use. Mm-hmm. Right.
And so, the more companies that can take people away from Steam, the better, because then maybe we'll finally fucking get Half-Life 3.
No.
Pull everyone back.
Mike, the ship has sailed. I'm sorry. Valve is not a games company anymore. They're just not.
Yeah.
What they're doing now is too lucrative. They're making Artifact. That is their first new game in I don't know how many years.
And I heard really good things about that.
Yeah.
We had one guy in the office that had good things to say about it, like, legitimately.
Yeah.
But,
I have had plenty of times where I read just trash online.
Yeah,
and then
I mean,
played a game and I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's totally fair, but I don't want to buy into, I do not want to buy into a quote-unquote free-to-play card game.
Is there a demo you can play? Do they have
no.
a demo? You just have to pay the $20 for sure
to
just
to
even try it.
And I thought it was beta anyway. Like,
I think well,
you're basically buying into the beta.
That's weird. We need to get somebody on who's played it, because
we do.
I'm not brave enough to fork over the $20.
I'm just about to get started on Magic Gathering Arena.
Yeah, I'm perfectly happy with Arena. So.
And I'm having a great time. I just got a bunch more people back into Hearthstone, so now I got people to play with again.
I love Hearthstone. Fun. I have a lot of trouble because I've never spent money on it. I have a lot of trouble in the free-to-play aspect, rebuilding every... Because I pick
I
it up and put it down so often.
I hear that a lot, and I can tell you there's a lot of content in the game that doesn't even use your own cards. So, like,
the single-player stuff's great.
Well, it... When was the last time you played it?
Probably about 3 or 4 months ago.
Okay. So did you see a dungeon run then?
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
okay.
I love them. They're fun.
I love those too.
Yeah.
So they keep getting better. They have a new one that's awesome. But the tavern brawls usually don't use your deck. And then the arena, which of course is more serious, but that also doesn't use your deck. And if that's more skill-based, which is why I don't win very often.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't play arena.
Yeah.
I'm so bad at it.
I get lucky sometimes, but... I got a long climb ahead of me. Anyway, it's fun that we can still enjoy those games.
Yeah. So my question to you guys is, how long until Discord tries to tap into the streaming platform arena? How long until they want to compete with Twitch and YouTube and Facebook?
Man.
Because they have...
I'm honestly surprised they didn't go that route before the storm.
I'm too. Mm-hmm. A little bit. Because they already have to have tons of, rack space, right? They have servers out the wazoo to support their infrastructure. And they have people logged in automatically all the time. It ties right into your games. It's like the next thing to do should be able to, you click a button, you start streaming, right? That's what should be next.
Yeah. Maybe standing up a store, standing up just a store probably has a lot less overhead than like putting together a whole, like...
From a user interface perspective, no, but from like a infrastructure,
yeah,
absolutely.
So maybe that's it. Maybe they're just dipping their toes into this other thing so that they can increase their revenue so that they can tackle the big thing.
Probably.
Yeah, because if they were going to try to take on Twitch, boy, that's that's trying to swallow a whale.
It is. But, Twitch is in the position right now that Steam was in 10 years ago, right?
Yeah.
And somebody's going to come in and break in and carve some stuff out.
And Discord's already one of the main companies that people use to like get together
as
gamers.
Yeah, I guess I do forget just how big Discord is.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a lot of users.
They have their platform in front of probably just as many gamers as Twitch does. Don't you think?
Yeah, I would. Well, obviously, I don't know the numbers, but
I assume yes. Almost every gamer who plays something multiplayer and wants to coordinate or converse or play with friends or strangers, even if, whether it's joining in a little Discord with your coworkers or friends or in a server, for a specific game and communicate with other players on that server or whatever, they're going to get Discord.
Yeah.
Like, that's the platform now. I don't know anybody who uses Ventrilo or TeamSpeak anymore.
Yeah, I haven't even heard those.
I use TeamSpeak for role-playing. And that's literally it.
Because it had some good options for playing sound effects.
Yeah, like voice modulation and stuff. Yeah,
but and that's, there are use cases.
Yeah.
But for the most part, So, I think it's 130
million users as of May this year.
On Twitch or Discord?
On Discord. So,
oh my God.
That's not a small number.
I mean, world, that's huge.
That's a lot of people.
Granted, Twitch has broader applications beyond gaming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. But I mean, technically so does Discord.
Yeah. That's true.
I also just find Discord a little more esoteric because, the reason I like Facebook, I've told you guys this before, is I can, everything can be categorized in a certain way. So when I need to go back to something, which I find myself doing a lot, I can more easily find it. With something like Discord, where it's all just listed, and I just have to scroll up till I find the thing. Even I found search functions in there, but I haven't found them half as useful as I want them to be. That makes Discord less appealing to me. I don't care for Discord that much. But hey, if this is a step towards them making it more appealing to me, let's do it. All right, and then Mike, before we listen to what you have to say about Pokemon, let's go to a commercial break.
Are you Luigi?
Do you like Star Trek? Because over at Red Shirts and Runabouts, part of the Heroes Podcast Network, we absolutely love Star Trek. Join us every week with me, one of your regular hosts, Gregory Bosco, as we talk about your favorite characters, your favorite movies, your favorite episodes. We even respond to some of your comments on Twitter and Facebook, at least those that are appropriate for us to talk about online, every Friday. Red Shirts and Runabouts. See you next week.
And we're back. All right, so Mike has been playing Pokemon Let's Go. Mm-hmm. Aren't there two editions? Mm-hmm. Did you get Eevee or Pikachu?
I got, okay. You're starting with the hard questions.
Okay, let me back this up. What is Pokemon Let's Go?
I like that.
Pokemon Let's Go is a pretty good remake of Red and Blue.
Okay.
So it's, if you played the Red and Blue Game Boy game, the map and everything, the world, it's all the exact same. It's just the 150 Pokemon.
Okay. Not 151. Can you move the truck to get
you know, I don't know if we use there. That's a good question. I'm not sure.
So this is what gamers have been, console Nintendo fans or whatever, even just any console fan, have been screaming for a long time, is a true Pokemon game on console that's not Game Boy, right? Mm-hmm. All right, that's awesome. I didn't know that, and yeah. I'm psyched now.
Somehow missed all of the lead up to Let's Go, and so when it was released, honestly, this is not unlike when the Wii U came out, and I thought it was still the Wii. It was when Let's Go came out, I thought it was just like a sequel to Pokemon Go.
Oh, yeah,
because
yeah.
Why would I think that?
That's what I thought.
Oh, wait. It's the same. It's the same name.
So, okay.
So it's confusing to me. I went over to my friend's place, and I saw it on his Switch. And then, because I thought I had an idea, even though I didn't mm-hmm. know research. So when I saw it on his Switch, I was extra confused. Yeah.
So I have to give it to Pokemon and apologize for my assumptions of this game. Because I was not excited for it.
Are you apologizing to the Pokemon themselves?
Yeah, I'm apologizing to the Pokemon themselves.
Okay. Please understand.
Yeah. So, Pokemon Go came out, and I was really ready for Pokemon Go. This is before it released, and we had all of these promises that Pokemon Go was going to be this crazy thing where, like, you walk around and you find things. And Pokemon Go, obviously, extremely insanely popular. But I was disappointed just because I just expected there to be a lot more to it. I wanted a little more depth. And I felt like when it, especially when it first released, mm-hmm. which maybe I'm being unfair just because I'm really giving a review based on the first few months of Pokemon Go. It was a huge letdown, disappointment. The servers, I could barely even play it when I wanted to. It was terrible. But when Pokemon Let's Go, when everybody were talking about that, and then they released that it would have something to do with Pokemon Go, immediately turned me off to
kinda,
it.
Kind of shut down mode after that. Yeah.
And then finding out that like wild Pokemon encounters, it's essentially Pokemon Go just in the game. So whenever you run into a wild Pokemon, you don't battle them. You're just throwing Pokeballs at them to try to catch them. Oh. So at first, You're changing like the Pokemon algorithm for me. So I'm already like hesitant. I'm worried. Are you gonna fuck it up? Like, what's gonna happen here?
No, this is all ruined.
You need to make it like the Safari Zone. Like, let me throw rocks.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I'm like, okay, so what's fun about any of this? Well, let me tell you, it makes the game better. Hmm. At least in my opinion.
Yeah.
I was the kind of person where, like, when I played Pokemon when I was a kid, I wanted to grind it out. I wanted to level up my dudes, you know? Like, I used to have deals with myself where it was like, okay, you can move this zone once you get all of your Pokemon in your party up to level 20, you know? Mm-hmm. So I would just grind it out.
Like, I'm not going to fight Brock until all of my Pokemon are level 50.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like,
I'm going to smash Brock even though I don't have any Pokemon that are good.
I'm going to make sure I grind so much that I'm not having fun anymore so that I can not have fun when I fight the gym leader. Because I just
really
destroy it.
Get in front of it.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. So anyway, the nice thing about this is that you now gain experience for capturing Pokemon. So I didn't have a Pokemon battle when I encountered that wild Pokemon, but when I caught it, my Pokemon gained experience. Everyone in your party gains experience along with your active Pokemon. So when you're fighting in battles, you're capturing Pokemon, everyone in your party is leveling up.
By capturing Pokemon?
Yeah. So like if you encounter a wild Pokemon and let's say you catch them on the first throw. Mm-hmm. You get a perfect or you get an excellent throw or a great throw or whatever. You get bonus experience. So you're getting experience for just catching the Pokemon. You get bonus experience for any cool shit you do while you're capturing the Pokemon.
Are all these games just trying to put baseball into Pokemon? Because the more I think about it, baseball is wildly huge in Japan. And I think this is them being like, you know what else people love?
It's true.
Baseball.
I mean, it even has that circle where you're like trying to hit directly
and
on the inside.
Ball
yeah.
And everything.
Yeah.
Oh man, it's all making sense. Yeah. Now.
So all your Pokemon get experience. So and you, I would say you actually get. Well, maybe this is biased because a lot of the Pokemon I'm kept catching in the beginning are ones that are new in my Pokédex, so I get bonus experience for that. But it feels like I'm getting more experience from capturing stuff than I am even from battles.
So it's less of a grind.
Yeah, it's a quality of life thing. Like they already know that you're gonna hunt down like that perfect Pokemon.
You're gonna fight Weedles in the Viridian Forest for like 4 hours
because you got to look at all their stats and you got to be like, okay, that Weedle is just slightly worse than that other Weedle, even though I know that as soon as I get another Pokemon, he's out of my party. But for some reason, I'm obsessed with this right now.
Dude, I know a friend of the show, RTY, I haven't tuned in for one of them yet, but he's had a bunch of Twitch streams where he's trying to catch shinies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, they have shinies.
Yeah, yeah. So that the way that you get shinies and stuff, you can actually get capture strings. So, like, if I'm trying to catch Pidgeys, I'll capture a Pidgey, and then I'll capture another Pidgey, and I start to build up a combo for every same Pokemon that I catch back to back to back to back. So the more Pokemon that I catch that are the same Pokemon back to back, the better, the stronger they become.
Oh, wow.
And then it's more likely for me to find a shiny Pokemon.
Interesting.
So
that's a lot more interesting than wandering around and catching 1,200 Pidgeys.
Well, and the thing that's nice is
they need the one.
They know you're gonna do it anyway. They know that you're gonna be looking for this one Pokemon. They know that you're gonna catch 50 of them trying to find like the best stats. And now they're just making it a little bit easier, and you're actually getting benefit from the experience.
I will say that in the original Pokemon, it wasn't clear that your stats mattered that much for the Pokemon you were catching, whereas in Pokemon Go, even it was pretty clear because it had that sort of number, right? The rating.
They have the rating.
Right. Yeah, that was like this Pokemon's objectively better than this one you already have of the exact same thing.
Yep.
So they retained all that.
They did, but okay. So you have to. It's something you unlock in the game.
Okay.
So I haven't unlocked it yet, but I'm pretty sure I can now. I think you had to have like 30 some Pokemon that you caught. Or evolved. You had to have like 30 some complete Pokédex pages, and then if you've done that and you're past the first gym, which I think you have to be past the first gym if you've gotten that many, then you can talk to some guy, and now you can go into your Pokemon menu, and it'll show you like these stats are great, these stats are okay, these stats are really good, these are the best or whatever. So yeah, it makes it a little bit easier that way. The other awesome thing, which this isn't even the awesomest awesome thing.
Whoa.
Okay.
Whoa.
The other awesome thing is that when you're running around in the wild, the tall grass or whatever, or you're in a zone where there are wild Pokemon, instead of you just running aimlessly through the grass in circles, the Pokemon spawn on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
So you see what wild Pokemon are available in that area. And if you want to fight them, you just run into them. If you want to avoid them, you just run around them. So imagine being in Mount Moon, the Zubat fucking haven
Zubat
of the world.
Zubat hellhole.
Oh, I forgot my rappel.
Oh, my God. Well, now
rope or whatever to get you out of the cave.
Yes. Now you're down there and you just see those idiots flying everywhere.
Yep.
And you're just running straight through the middle of them. You get through Mount Moon, you fight all the trainers in there or whatever.
So
nice.
I'll say that these features do make the game sound more fun from like a I want to pick it up and play it level, but it definitely diminishes the traditional RPG quality of the game, right?
Well,
can you ever use a splash attack?
Yeah.
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah, I have a Magikarp right now.
Fights against trainers are the same.
Yeah, virtually. Fights against trainers are the exact same. Mm. There's even more, I would say, of almost a role-playing aspect to it, because going back to what I was talking about, how you can, like, if you capture a bunch of Pokemon that are the same, instead of just releasing them like you would do in the original game, they do pull something new in from Pokemon Go, which is the send it to the professor for candies, right? So in Pokemon Go, you're sending in your Pokemon for candies specific to that Pokemon.
You're sending them through the Pokemon Shredder.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Okay. Yeah. And you get your Pidgey candy or whatever. And once you get enough Pidgey candies,
I'm never going to unthink that.
I know. It's horrifying.
Yeah, there's a cartoon online where like somebody sends it to the professor and it just shows them on the other side going through a shredder. And like candies coming out the other end.
Oh, gee. That's brutal.
Yeah. All right.
But so like you get your in Pokemon Go, you get your Pidgey candies and you use those candies to evolve your Pidgey, right? Well, in Pokemon Let's Go, you get, like, every Pokemon has a primary stat, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, if I have a Pidgey, it's
probably speed.
I think it's speed. I can't remember what Pidgey is. But anyway, every time you trade in a Pidgey, you get a candy that boosts that stat on any Pokemon.
Oh.
So.
And they had the boosts to stats in the original game. I don't remember what they were called. It was like attack up.
There weren't that many, and it was permanent, right?
Yeah, but it was pretty rare.
These are permanent, and the way that they balance it is that there's like regular candies, large candies, and extra large candies. The regular candies can only be used on Pokemon up to like level 30 or something, and then the large is for 30 to whatever, and then extra large. So if you're like me and you're out there and you're just, I am obsessed with like catching Pokemon, looking for the best stats until finally I've caught so many that I'm tired of it and I give up on it anyway, but I still have like 20 Pokemon
of the same and then you send them through the Pokemon Shredder and get all your candy.
I get a shit ton of candy.
And it's like you're rewarded a second time.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's so good.
And it forces you to want to find other Pokemon that give you the other candies because you want to spread out your stats, right?
So you
back up what you just said. What do you mean?
Well, because a Pidgey might give you the speed candy, but they'll only give you the speed candy every single time.
Pidgey gives you the amphetamine.
And then something like Rattata would give you like attack candy.
Defense, I'm
okay.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a unique play on like the old EV or what IV.
Yeah,
I forget.
IV. Yeah.
IV training.
Yeah, it's still called IV. They still.
What did that stand for again?
I don't know.
So that's interesting. So you think that the RPG aspects have just sort of shifted to be more aligned with stats and like really building up your team and getting them the stats.
It's
they
not
need.
So much. It's still pretty grindy, reliant basically. On RNG, right?
Yeah.
But it gives you an out. It doesn't feel totally reliant on RNG anymore.
Yeah.
Like you could just spend forever trying to catch the perfect Pokemon and just never see it. But now you've caught so many, you've got so many candies, now he's like a god, you know? But
so if you can see the Pokemon, the wild Pokemon on the map, you could go grind, but you get to choose when you want to do that.
Yeah.
And with what Pokemon you want.
Yep.
That's actually, that is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
I do like that. I am going to go get this game.
Totally worth it.
Pretty much right away.
Yeah. So now let me get to my favorite thing about it. HMs.
Oh, yeah.
HMs were the biggest
H machines?
Pain in the ass. It was like cut, swim.
Cut, surf, well, the fly.
Surf, fly, yeah.
Oh,
Thunder Smash.
What were the, so you
the
had the
TMs,
were the normal moves that you could teach to other Pokemon.
So to go along with the RPG aspect of it too now, TMs in the original game were one-time use.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they're infinite use.
Oh, wow.
So you can give the TMs to whichever Pokemon you want.
Yeah.
So you can really customize your team and their abilities.
Do they like hold it and only they can use it while they have it?
No.
Or you just teach it to whoever you want, like it's
a move.
So the HMs you could teach to whoever you wanted before.
Yeah, but the HMs, if you remember, took up a slot, and they could never forget them.
Yep.
It was locked in. It was like, okay, yep. I have to give this to the Pokemon on my team, but I've basically permanently taken away a move for one of my best Pokemon.
You're like, sweet, I love having cut on this great Pokemon.
Yeah. Well, late in the game in Red and Blue, Swim was the one you needed, and for water Pokemon who could use it, because it was so limited...
Mm-hmm.
Taking away a move was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So now they're not called HMs anymore. I don't remember what they're called. I haven't actually gotten one yet. I just read about it. But now you can just use them. It doesn't have to eat up a slot.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's nice.
The quality of life of that is crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, think about. So let's think about the like one of the worst HMs. Maybe some people figured out how to use this and it worked great. But I remember when I was a kid, this was just totally worthless. Flash.
Yeah.
Because Flash, all it did was light up that cave one time.
Yep.
And then now it's like, what the fuck? Why do I have this?
And you had to like teach it to an electric Pokemon, right?
Yeah.
It was the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so like stuff like that, you don't have to worry about that anymore. Now... Let me think. I'm pretty sure those are the really, really big ones.
Okay.
It is nice, like they do here's the other thing that's a little bit of like role playing game. Like it gives you a reason to keep your Pikachu or your Eevee around. There are guys in the game that are I've only found one so far, and he was in a
Pokecenter?
Yeah, Pokecenter. There we go.
Were you getting healed?
What's a fucking Pokemon hospital? Yeah, the Pokecenter.
Mash that A button.
There's a guy, there are guys in there that will teach special moves to your starter Pokemon that other Pikachu in the game or other Eevee in the game would not learn.
Mm-hmm.
So my Pikachu right now has a move that he learned from that guy called like Zippy Zap. And it's basically quick attack. So you always attack first. It always critically hits.
Oh, wow.
Always.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So it's
sort of like cheating though, right?
Well, it is. Like some yeah. I mean, if you're grinding it and you're really like trying to find the best Pokemon and stuff, I have no issues with the battles. But I was doing the same thing in the Game Boy version. I wasn't having any issues with battles there either, you know. You can still get all of the original starter Pokemon. I have Charmander, Bulbasaur, and Squirtle. They're just like people that you see in towns that are like have the orphan Pokemon that they want you to take.
They just give them to you?
Yeah, like as long as you have caught enough Pokemon.
Mm. Oh, please take this off my hands.
Wait, yeah. Okay, so back up. So you start with a Pikachu or an Eevee.
Based on the version you buy.
Oh.
But it's also like Red and Blue where certain Pokemon are only available in each version.
So, so you can get the normal starting three through some... I really wish they would just put them in the wild because that's more exciting to me, but whatever.
Well, okay, so I don't know. You might be able to find them in the wild somewhere.
Yeah.
One thing that is nice about... They say, like, if there's somebody that wants to give you a Pokemon, always take it because it's just inherently going to be more powerful than what you would find in the wild.
Okay. Interesting. Okay, so then the differences between the two versions. So you basically have Red and Blue, but it also determines what you start with. But Eevee is a lot more versatile than Pikachu is, right?
I agree. I wanted the Eevee version because I just like Eevee better anyway. Yeah. I would, Jolteon has always been like one of my favorite.
Basically end up with a Pikachu.
Yeah. Okay. But I looked at the Pokemon list of like what was available in each game.
Each version,
and Scyther was the Pokemon in Pikachu's version. So I was like, okay, I have to get this one because I love Scyther.
What's the Eevee equivalent then? Taurus or whatever?
Pinsir.
Pinsir. Yeah, that's right.
But after I purchased it, because I just one night I was going to bed, it was late. Like I think it was like 1 a.m. or something. I was getting ready to roll into bed and I was like, fuck it, I'm buying it right now.
And I'm going to go to bed, play some Pokemon. I'm 10 years old.
Well, I was like, I'll buy it right now, and then I can download it overnight while I'm sleeping, and then play it in the morning. And so I didn't look into it enough, because now, knowing that I can just hook up my Pokemon Go account to Pokemon Let's Go and transfer Pokemon Go.
It doesn't matter.
I should have just gone with Eevee.
Well, but you can get an Eevee pretty easily then. Right?
Yeah, but I won't get the special Eevee moves that come from getting that version.
That's a big mistake. Yeah. Well, I appreciate that I can learn from your mistake, and I can get the Eevee version.
That's okay. Well, what that means is just
we
that
we can trade.
Yeah, well, no, yeah. Well, we can battle later.
Oh yeah,
and we'll just battle Eevee versus Pikachu. Oh,
I'm sure that's gonna go well. I'll be sure not to do Vaporeon.
Yeah.
At least there's not like a Rock Eevee.
Rockion. Stoneon.
So, but other than that, like, they have included some new people around, like the people that give you Bulbasaur, Squirtle, and everybody. Actually, you know what? Maybe that was from Pokemon Yellow, now that I think about it. Because I think you could get them, but I can't remember. It's been so long since I played Yellow.
I'm pretty
sure
you could get them. I don't remember how. But
I assumed it was something new.
Oh, does your Pokemon follow you around like Yellow?
Yeah. And so not only does your Pokemon follow you around, but you can actually choose to let other Pokemon in your party follow you around.
Cool.
And it makes them like you more the longer they're out. So
they've added a number of mechanics over the Red and Blue.
Yeah.
Is there still things like, did they add breeding and stuff that was like Gold and Silver?
So I
additions?
Just, okay, so last night when I wrapped up playing, I just got into the SSN. And the SSN, that I can't remember the name
of
the town.
Did you move the truck to get Mew? Cerulean City?
I don't have strength yet. I don't know if the truck still is there. I have no idea.
Well, if the truck's not there, then Mew's not there.
So. but yeah, anyway, the route right before, I think you're right. I think it is Cerulean City that has SSN. The route right before.
It is. I'm chiming in to say absolutely yes.
Okay. So the route right before Cerulean City, I think, is where the Pokemon daycare is. And that was where you like bred
you
your
drop
Pokemon.
Them off, and they gain experience over time.
Yeah, but then I think you also drop off the like male and female or whatever
in later versions. Yeah, or so breeding wasn't in the original Red and Blue.
I assume they put it in Fiery Red. I don't remember, but I assume they did.
That's what I don't know.
So the guy,
I imagine
inside,
they did. Usually when Pokemon brings on a new mechanic, they keep it
forever.
Well, the guy inside of the daycare was like, hey, if you ever come back, if you ever become a master, come back and talk to me. Mm-hmm. I mean, that could mean anything.
I'm gonna be Pokemon master.
But the fact that he's in the daycare, I kind of assume that's they're trying to tell you, like, hey, end game is over here. If you want to come back to the daycare and start breeding Pokemon to find, like, the absolute best of the best.
It could be.
Well,
I guess, do the Pokemons have genders?
Yeah, they do.
Okay. Yep. And there's breeding.
And they all look, everything looks different.
Yeah.
So, like, when you start the game, I had to jump through this because I had to restart the game a few times to like try to get better like characteristics and shit on my Pokemon.
You would.
Yeah, and what I found was that when you start the game, when the game starts up, you're just looking at a TV, and whichever version of the game you bought, Pikachu or Eevee are in the TV jumping around or whatever. The game, by this point, you have not actually started playing the game. It's like the intro like video. The game by this point has already determined which gender your starter Pokemon is. So I found out that if you're like looking at the tail of Pikachu, the normal Pikachu tail that everyone remembers from the original games is the tail that the male has. If it's a female, it's like it like has two mounds, like two bumps instead of just the pointy tail.
That makes me feel weird.
Yeah. So, like, I would start the game over, and then I'd see that tail, and I'd be like, no, god damn it! And then I have to start the game over, and I'd see the tail, no! And then start the game over.
Like, do you have like, something against female Pikachu?
No, I just want my Pikachu tail to look normal. I don't want this, like, whatever the bump things were. It was weird.
You're a Pokemon sexist.
I think you gotta stop thinking about tail so much.
I can't help it. He's always out. I had to look at it all day long.
That's true. If you're going to have to look at it, you better enjoy it.
Yeah.
Dude, okay. It's like my Stardew Valley guy, I was like, I made this guy, I'm happy, but I'm definitely getting a new hat.
Yeah.
I got to look at this all day.
So the only thing that I'm concerned about is you got to remember, Game Boy game.
Right.
The map was never that big.
No.
I played a lot yesterday, and I think I probably, I mean, I got to the SSN. That's like maybe not halfway through the game. I guess
that's pretty far.
It's probably a third.
No, I mean, I only have 2 badges, 2 of the 8.
You're not even to Lieutenant Surge.
Shouldn't you have 3? Don't you get? Yeah, don't you fight the lightning dude?
I think maybe there's. Is he in Cerulean?
I thought so.
Yeah.
Well, Misty's in Cerulean.
Misty's in
Vermilion.
Vermilion is where I misspoke.
Okay. Vermilion.
Yeah, Vermilion is where Lieutenant Surge.
Okay.
And the SSN.
So yeah, so I haven't fought him yet. I haven't gotten on the SSN yet. I just have the tickets and I'm where it is.
Well, the various points in the game definitely add non-gym things to do.
Yeah.
So you've gone through Mount Moon.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know. I'm not going to remember all of it, but there's that period where you get the bicycle and you got to ride it all over.
Yeah.
And then there's the Safari Zone and there's the you haven't even made it to the ghost gym where you have to go through the whole Team Rocket
and
stuff.
You even have to unlock the device that allows you to even see the ghost Pokemon.
I mean, I would say you're generously a quarter of the way through the game.
Yeah.
But
so,
probably not even that.
So paying $60 for a game and me knowing that, like, I played one day and I'm already... Yeah, I agree. I think a quarter is probably
reasonable. You also know this game.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, but I think part of it, too, is I'm talking about all of these quality of life changes that help you just... move the game along, but now it's like speed.
They had a good
game,
and now they made it better. Yeah. So
what do you do if you spend 8 hours on this game and it's over?
Well, it's more like I'm gonna want to keep playing, so I'm just a little worried about what the end game is.
Pokemon DLC.
That's a good point.
Wait, it's got to happen at some point.
Yeah,
right?
That's true.
Right.
So like, there will be a gold and silver version of this game, right? At some point.
Why would they do DLC and not just come out with a new game?
But that's what I'm saying. They'll do DLC and come out with a new game, right? I just have to imagine. Because, like, it's on this platform. People will spend every dollar that they own on Pokemon DLC and still buy the new game, right?
Yeah.
I don't know what that
means. I totally agree that they would make a new one because people would buy it. But what would they do for DLC? Because, I mean, I'm not even familiar with Nintendo doing that much DLC except for, like...
Yeah.
I mean, we have the Smash... DLC announcement that they just did, but
Zelda
like
had a couple DLCs.
So if it were me,
you're right. It did.
If it were me, I would for DLC, I would pull Pokemon from across all of the other games and just take a selection.
Well, so they already did that
and pull them.
It's called Super Smash Brothers.
No.
Nice.
So now, like in the game,
and you fight each other.
You remember in the original Red Blue, you'd run up to somebody and somebody would want to trade you a Pokemon. Well, they still have people like that, but now there's also people that want to trade you the same Pokemon for one of your Pokemon. So like you go up and some guy's like, "Hey, do you want to trade Geodudes?" And you say yes, and then you send him your normal Geodude and you receive a Geodude from the most recent Pokemon Game Boy game, which is from the Alola region.
Oh, so they look different?
They look a little bit different and their types are different. So I have a Geodude I have a Geodude that's a rock electric type.
No.
Yeah. And he's got like electric things on his face.
I didn't even know that with oh my god.
Yeah, and then like I traded a Rattata. So I traded my Rattata to somebody else and they sent me one from that same region and it was normal dark. So it's actually a dark type Pokemon now. And they look different too, which is cool.
Yeah.
So
they incorporated dark and steel.
I don't know. I assume steel because fairy is in there, so I assume that steel is part of it.
I in general like the idea that they incorporated so many features from future games back into the originals, so to speak.
Dude, I never beat it, but Fiery Red was a good. That was a great game. Like it was the game I remembered with a lot of great quality of life things, just like you're describing. And man, like I should go back and play that even. Well, actually, really, I should just play Pokemon Let's Go. But I was shocked at how worthwhile that was to play. Consider like it was not just a nostalgia thing. Mm-hmm. Like that totally had enough to stand on its own.
Yeah,
I was very surprised.
So Jesse James are in this one.
Yeah.
Jesse
and James.
Jesse and James.
Okay.
Yeah.
Team Rocket.
Yeah. Meowth cannot talk.
That's right.
It's just normal Meowth.
Well, Meowth couldn't talk in the original, right? Just in the cartoon.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Okay. So wasn't there... I think I found out recently they made a new Pokemon anime based off of the game instead of... based. So the main character is Red instead of Ash. And it's like a six-part series or something.
I heard about that, too. I never watched it. Huh.
I think I watched the first episode.
There's a detective movie coming out.
Oh, man. I want to see it. I know. So Detective Pikachu looks like it could just fall flat on its face.
Yeah, but there's potential there.
Oh, but I want to see it so bad.
Man, Ryan Reynolds seems... Honestly, I'll get behind it. With all the work he put in to make Deadpool a thing to change the industry for the better, you know what? Yep. I'll give it a shot.
No, I think if anybody could do it, Ryan Reynolds can do it.
I do think someone told me that it was originally going to be Danny DeVito, which I do think
which would also be
would have been amazing.
the children would have been like, "Who is this guy?"
He needs to be like coughing or something.
Yeah, Detective Pikachu has a cigar the entire time.
The trailer for that movie looked very, very funny. That was just like Pokemon Let's Go. Like I heard about this movie, I heard it was gonna be live action. And I was like, oh my god.
All right, I already know how I feel about this.
Yep. And then watch the trailer and it's like, okay, I'll watch that movie.
They've done a decent job of not like completely screwing up the franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas other franchises do it at every turn.
I mean, I think they probably know, like, guys, if we screw up this franchise, we got Mario and Zelda, and that's it.
Well, I was having a conversation.
This is our money maker.
Yeah. I was having a conversation about this a few days ago, that, like, it is nice to finally be at a point in video games culture where the stuff is getting treated appropriately. Like, so Castlevania is a great anime series for a game I've never played, and I don't intend to play. I've watched Metroid. Well, I've played Metroid games, but I'm not that into the Metroidvania genre.
Mm-hmm.
Show is great. Like, does not matter that I have not watched the show. The same guy who did Castlevania is now doing Devil May Cry. There's another game that I've watched. I've played a little bit of. I have no interest in playing that game. But if he can do half as well with Devil May Cry as he did with Castlevania, I'm on board.
Have we talked about Castlevania on this podcast? I can't remember.
We talked about it early. Like when we first started doing it, a little bit.
That is such a good show.
It's
I
so
never
great.
Watched it.
Give it a shot.
It came up on the Screen Hero Awards because I haven't seen the second season yet. But Ian, he had said he was nervous that he wanted to play the games before he saw the show because he was afraid he'd miss references. And I was like, oh no, do not worry about it. Like you can recognize stuff as little Easter eggs and stuff and be like, oh, that's cool. But definitely you can enjoy the show without playing the game. And
the story
to see,
is really cool.
So to see like Pokemon, to see Detective Pikachu actually look like a real movie that people put time and effort into, that's encouraging. You know, I'm just glad that finally we're at a point where the wider mainstream culture can realize like, so there is a reason to enjoy these things, you know, and it's not just put in a little box where everybody, well, similarly to what we continue to do. Make up their mind on what it's going to be.
One of the nice things about, not to go back to Castlevania, but one of the nice things about Castlevania, which it's kind of a double-edged sword because I want more Castlevania, but it's also nice that, like, the first season's like 6 episodes.
And yeah, I think it's 4.
Yeah, 4.
It's short, it's like, but every episode is so good.
Yeah, and the episodes are only like, they're like 30 minutes long or something, right? They're not even
like extended episodes.
Yeah, they're like 24 minutes or something. So, I mean, you can blow through an entire season of that thing in, like, a short evening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, it's good. The story is magnificent. I really enjoyed it. I like, gushed to Kelly about it when I finished the first season.
Yeah. So, if this is where they're setting the bar, I can't wait to see it get raised even further. Like, I'm excited to see other people, they either have to match this or fall flat. Like, I hope that the big companies that decide to greenlight these, I hope that they start paying more attention to these Castlevanias and hopefully Detective Pikachus to really decide, is this worth producing? Because I don't want any more of that cash-in bullshit of, like, even, like, the Resident Evil movies and stuff. Like, just stop it, please. Just don't do any more. You know, so I want that stuff to go away. I'm happy that we're in a position now where we have something to point at, to be like, look, we can do it. It can be for real. Like, this could be a real adult thing. Like, you can treat it with, you know, proper respect.
I like it. So what we're saying is, Detective Pikachu and Pokemon Let's Go. Let's go!
Gamer Heroes is part of the Heroes Podcast Network and hosted by Gigi Casey. You can find our episodes at heroespodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spreaker, and tons of other podcast apps. Follow us online at Gamer Heroes Pod and at GG_Kansas_City on Twitter, or at Heroes Podcasts on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitch. You can also find us on GGKC Facebook page and our website, gg-kc.com. To all you gamers out there, play nice, play well, and play again. See you next week.